Good morning, everyone. Okay, before I start, let's just pray. Lord, we want to just give you praise and glory in everything that we do this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that is in your word, and we thank you that, Jesus, you are that truth. And Lord, today in the prayer ministry time this morning, Ken said that he felt that you were saying that you want to change mindsets this morning. And Lord, if that is your heart, if that is your desire, then do it. Change our mindsets. Help us to see your truth in a deeper, deeper way, we ask in your mighty name. Amen. As you know, we started a new series. It's called Grace Awakening. And awakening, for me, it's because God is wanting to do exactly that. He's wanting to awaken us to understand the full aspect of what his grace is. He's wanting to enlarge our understanding of what that is. I was thrilled when I heard that word today about he wants to change our mindset when we think about what grace is. And today is part two, and I've entitled it God's Empowering Grace. So again, whenever we look at anything in the Bible like grace, we want to always make sure that it lines up, not just with his word, but also with God's character. You know, if you were to look up grace, grace is God's favor, it's his kindness, it's his blessing, it's a gift from God. It's his influence, it's his goodwill, it's his gratitude, it's his enabling power, and he's much, much more. Now, most of us have learned that grace is God's unmerited favor. And that's true, it is that, because grace, we receive grace by the fact that in receiving it, there's nothing actually that we can do. There's nothing in terms of our receiving that we can influence in any way. It's not done by anything, by any of our efforts or any of our work. It's simply, it's a grace that God extends to us. But I think sometimes, and we hear unmerited favor in particular when it comes to two areas of our salvation, because Ephesians 2:8 says that it is for grace that we've been saved through faith, and it is not from ourselves. That's what the unmerited part is. It's not from ourselves. It's a gift from God. And we often hear it when it refers to our justification, which is Romans 3:28, that we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ. Now, I'm just going to briefly touch on this because I think, again, God wants us to change our mindsets. And I think sometimes we can get fixed on the word unmerited, and it can have a negative kind of connotation that somehow we're not worthy of it. There's some kind of religious inadequacy on our part, but I want to assure you that it has nothing to do with that at all. It really talks about God's love and about God's favor. If it wasn't for that, it would be something that would, again, give us a skewed view of what that is. For example, there's a number of people in here that we know are looking for jobs, and we've been praying for them, I hope, all of us. And I don't know about you, but when I pray for that, I just want to declare God's favor over them to get that job, declare his favor in when they're sending their resumes, and their favor when they meet with whoever they have for an interview. And it's not just favor with God, but it's favor with man as well. Because my expectation is they are going to get that job. And when they get that job, they're going to be excited, right? They're going to be thrilled. They're going to tell their wives, their friends. They're going to tell us. It'll be a testimony that we'll hear on Sunday that speaks of God's love and faithfulness and his favor over us. It's not going to be something that we're going to think of, well, but I didn't deserve that. Because God doesn't think in that way. We have to be thankful that we are highly favored, because we are. We're children of God. God loves us. That's our position in Christ. So it's not something we hang our head down, but actually we hang our head high, not because we're proud, but because we're so blessed that God's favor is it. God looks at us and he says, I love you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to direct my kindness towards you. I'm going to equip you and prepare you with my grace, because I can and because I want to. And isn't that amazing? I mean, we talk about amazing grace. Just the fact that God would do that is incredible. And so I just want to kind of lay that out so that we understand the nature of grace and where it's coming from, God's heart of love, of his kindness and favor. And you know, and it's so much more, and we're going to see a little bit about that today. And my hope is, again, that it will change our mindset of what we see when we see God's grace and we see what his plan and purpose is for it. If you were to ask me what's the most important thing that we need to know about grace, I would say it's this, that Jesus Christ is the grace of God. He is God's grace personified. And if we don't understand that, and hopefully you've written that down, because that's a real mindset changer. Jesus is the grace of God. And it's not just because of I've said it, because it's in his word. John 1:16-17 says, "For from his fullness we have received grace upon grace." From Christ's fullness of who he is, we get heaps of grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, because that's who Jesus is. Then it goes on to say, "For the law was given to us through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Matthew Henry, and we know Matthew Henry if you've done any kind of Bible studies, he has a commentary. He says this about this verse. He said, "All fullness dwells in him," in Jesus, "from which all fallen sinners have," and we are fallen sinners, "but and we shall receive by faith all that renders them wise, strong, holy, useful, and happy." Our receivings by Christ are all summed up in this one word, grace. We have received even grace, a gift so great, so rich, so invaluable, the goodwill of God towards us and the work of God in us. Isn't that incredible? Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." And he's referring to Jesus, because Jesus is God's grace. So we need to remember that. I mean, that, I believe, is foundational for us if we're going to move forward and receive all that God has for us, and for us to have a full understanding of what grace is and how vast it is. I was thinking, you know, if we just think of it as God's unmerited favor, it's like, I'm sure all of you have relatives that live either outside of Canada, or they live in different parts of Canada, or you may have friends and they come to visit you. And what do? You show them the city. Well, if we think that grace is simply unmerited favor, then it would be like if someone came to visit you, you took them to the CN Tower, up and down, saw the view, and that was it. And they went home and thought, well, did you like Toronto? Yeah, it's beautiful. They have a CN Tower. They have this big tower, and that was it. They would only get a glimpse of what the city is about, because there's so much more, as we all know. And it's the same with grace. God is wanting to expand and show us the expansiveness. We talk about this, God wanting to expand us. He's wanting to reveal, and part of the way he's doing that is show us the expansiveness of what grace actually means. Graham Cook says, "When we live in the new man," and remember, we're new men, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, "your old person, who you were, is gone, is dead, is buried, and now," Scripture says, "we're a new creation in Christ." So when we live in the new man, we no longer have to see our days in terms of good or bad. Everything is filled with the grace of God because we were living in Christ. Neither our circumstances nor our actions determine the amount of grace we receive. We simply receive his grace because we are in Christ. And that applies to everyone. See, all of us have had somebody say, "Well, how was your day today?" "Well, it was not great. You know, it's something happened at work or whatever." What this is saying is that because Jesus is God's grace and Christ is in us, working in us, working through us, we don't see our day as good or bad. Why? Because Christ is in us. Now, that doesn't take away that maybe there's things that have happened during the day that maybe were unpleasant or we didn't like, but that is his grace in the form of Jesus come and gives us a completely different view of how we look at things. And this applies to everyone. You see, there's nothing we can do that would increase the amount of grace that God gives us. Because remember, it's a free gift. He simply gives our grace whenever he wants to, and as much of it as he wants to in Christ Jesus. And he gives it to each and every one of us. He doesn't give someone that you think is somehow more mature. He doesn't get any more. We all receive the same grace. So why God's empowering grace? Why did I title this Empowering Grace? Because grace, as I said, is more than just God's favor, his kindness, his goodness. It's more than that. You know, if we just think for a moment, if we just look at our salvation, we know it's a gift of grace, that our salvation that he's given us. And that's incredible. Again, we didn't do anything to earn that, but Christ gave us salvation. And he gave us justified. He justified us again in and through Jesus. If you just look at those two things, that's incredible that we live in that. I mean, that in itself is an amazing grace, but there's so much more than that. Because Christ has brought us into this new position as believers, as children of God. He's justified us. And now he's given us things that he's told us that we need to go out and to spread the good news and to make disciples. But he hasn't just given us salvation and justification and then said, okay, go ahead, guys, go out and do it and then tell me how it's working for you. He does more than that, because if we did that, we would basically fail. But he empowers us. He gives us power. And that word empowering means it's a verb and it's an active verb. And it means when you give someone the authority or power to do something, it's the equipping with power. And that's exactly what grace does. It empowers us because Christ, God, has given us the authority and the power to do what he's called us to do. Grace is God's empowering presence within us that enables you to become more like Jesus and to become who he's made you to be. So again, it's his empowering presence in us, in you, that enables you to become everything that he made you to be like Jesus. And we talked about earlier that when you receive Jesus, you become a new creation. So when Jesus looks at you, when God looks at you, he doesn't see the old Carmichael. He doesn't see the old Rick. He sees that new Rick that you've become in Christ. And he sees you as a completed work. If you're here, you're the completed work in Christ. This is who God has made you. That's when God looks at you, that's what he sees. So his empowering presence in you enables you to become that person that he sees us. But you and I, most of us, are still here. We're a new creation, but we still haven't gotten there. So how do we get there? We do it with grace, because his grace is also his empowering power working in us to get to that point. See, it's an active thing. God has provided everything we need. He's saved us. He's justified us. But he's given us the means by which we can fulfill the plan and purpose that he has for us. God's grace is present in Jesus, and he is actively engaged in each of our lives. Because God is a relational God, you know why God created us? He created us for relationship. That's primarily his desire, is to be in relationship with us. And so I believe that grace is also God's way of connecting with us as his sons and daughters, because it's in that relationship that he reveals himself. He reveals his heart. He reveals his character. And he reveals his love. And he does that in his empowering presence in us, because he's working in us. We're going to look at three examples in Scripture that speak of that empowering grace that's working in us. We're starting off with 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." So God is able to make grace abound, to make it increase in you, so that you have all sufficiency, so that you are equipped, you are enabled in whatever circumstance and situation that you find yourself to succeed, so that you may abound, that you may increase in every work you do. God's empowering presence, it's working in you in order to allow us to do this. I think Paul is a great example of that. And it's interesting, but the word grace appears in the New Testament about, 150 some odd times. And among all the writers of the New Testament, of which there were probably 7, 8, I would think, that were in that order, Paul wrote 100 of those references to grace. And I think it's because he had a revelation of what grace was, because he saw it working in him and through him. 1 Corinthians 15, this is what he says. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." That's like you and I. By the grace of God, we are who we are. "And his grace to me was not without effect." You see, that empowering grace in us cannot be without effect. It has to be effect, because it's his working in us to become like Jesus, to become and enable us to do everything that he's called us to do. And it hasn't come without any effect. But he says, "No, I worked harder than all of them." And you can say, well, that's kind of prideful for you to say that, Paul. But actually, we got to read all of it. He says, "I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me." You see, sometimes we really get hung up on the idea that grace will give us liberty or permission to sin. But actually, when we encounter grace in the form of Jesus and allow him to work in us, grace is not permission to sin. It's the power to overcome sin, because it's Christ in us. It's capturing that heart. It's understanding who he is. And it's his work that's doing. Paul says, it's not me. It's not because I work harder than everyone else. It's actually God's grace. Yes, God's grace, that empowering presence that is within you to enable you and I and everyone else here to become more like Christ. Acts 4:33 says, "And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus with great grace, and great grace was upon them." So we see great power and great grace to do what? To help them give their testimony, to help them do what God called him to do. It is, it always is, that enabling presence that does that. It's an enabling grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Ephesians 2 speaks about what is this throne of grace and how can we approach this throne of grace with confidence. Well, Ephesians 2:6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." That's the part of grace which is God's relational way of revealing his character and his nature to us, by reminding us that he's lifted us up. He's raised us up with Christ to be seated with him as his son, as his daughter. So we can come to the throne of grace with confidence. We don't come as strangers. We come as family. We come as his children, so that we may receive mercy and find grace, again, to help us in whatever thing that's going on in our lives. We need his empowering grace to help us to grow and to mature in Christ. We need his empowering grace to teach us. We need his empowering grace to equip us. We need his empowering grace to reveal more of Jesus in our lives. To me, when I read about this aspect of what grace was, to me it was a game changer, because it suddenly revealed a completely whole new dimension of what grace is. It showed me that Jesus was with me. And you know, when he says he never leaves me nor forsakes me, it means that in every situation and circumstance that I find myself, I'm not trying to work that out in my own strength. I know that his grace is upon us. I believe that his grace is upon us every day, all the time, 24/7. Why? Because God wants us to become that person that he sees us, that he created us to be. And in order to get from where we are now to there, we need that enabling grace to be working and operating in our lives. This message is not going to be a long message, but hopefully it's been concise for you and helping you, because I believe, yes, we do have to change our mindset, but this mindset will change us for the better and will give us a new glimpse of what grace is, that we live in a position of grace. It changes us because, again, the purpose of it is to help us to get from where we are to where God sees us. But I love the book of Ephesians because it speaks a lot of what grace is. And I just want to read to you some of this, but I want to encourage you actually to read it yourself, because it speaks so much of God's grace, and it reveals so much of God's grace. And what I'm sharing today is not the exhaustive word on grace. There's so much more. But I wanted to point out that there's a power aspect to what grace entails and what it means, and how God has purposely created his grace to be that empowering grace, because that's what's going to help us. That's what's going to help us to grow and to mature in him. So I'm going to read this, and I want you to just kind of take it in. I'm going to start off with verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will get back to that. But praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's grace. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's grace. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. That's grace. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one, Jesus, that he loved. In him we have redemption through his blood. That's grace. The forgiveness of sins. That's grace. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. That's grace, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, and even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined, that's grace, according to the plan of him who worked everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. That's grace. In order that we, who were first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And that is Christ too. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's grace. Who is depositing, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those for God's possession to the praise of his glory. And then read, I want you to read chapter 2 as well, and I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm just going to read verse 8, where it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. This is amazing. Created in Christ Jesus to do good work. And that's grace, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. That's why we need his empowering grace, so that we can do the work that he has prepared to do. When you think about that, it's incredible. Before we were even formed, he already knew that about you. He has a plan for you. And our plans are very similar, but they are unique because we are unique. And he's provided his grace to enable us to walk that out, because he wants us to be successful. He wants us to be victorious in that. Isn't that an amazing God? And that is the nature of his grace. If you read Paul's letters, he was in the habit of saying this introduction, grace and peace to you from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you. I've read that a lot. And I thought, yeah, I mean, that's a cool introduction. That's That's kind of a great way to saying, hi, y'all, it's me, Paul. But there's more to it than a greeting. And there's something very powerful in that. And I think, again, remember, Paul wrote two-thirds of all the references to grace in the New Testament. So he knew something. He knew what grace was. He knew how powerful it was. And I believe he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying it not as a greeting. I believe he says it as a declaration because he understands the power that is in those words, grace and peace. So if you just think of grace again, it's God's empowering presence in us. Think about it. It's his favor. It's his kindness. It's his blessing. It's his goodness. So when he's saying grace to you, that's what he's saying. And peace, you think of what peace is. First of all, we all know it's that peace of God which surpasses all understanding, but it's more than that. The peace of God is also something that equips us to do his will. It sanctifies us. It sets us apart, body, soul, and spirit. So when he was saying this, he was declaring that over them, speaking that power of those words and what they are and what they represent to him. And I think God just gave me this thought that he wants us to do that today. He wants us to declare that to one another. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to speak those words. And this is not just, and I want you to think, when you think of grace, I want you to think God's empowering presence in us and working in us. His favor, his kindness, that's the power of his word. That's what grace entails. And his peace, again, it's not just the surpassing peace that surpasses understanding, but it's also a peace that equips us to do his will, that sanctifies us. Now, I'm going to ask you to just kind of group around and do that. Before I do it, if we have to toast something and we're sitting at the dinner table and we want to toast something, people bend over and stretch to get that glass to ting, everyone. So I want you to get together, maybe three or four, we can do that. But don't just let two people say that and then everybody sits down. I want everyone, Carmichael, to speak that over Brenda, and Brenda to speak it back to him and to Ken and back. You see what I'm talking about? Because these are powerful things that we're pronouncing over one another. We're pronouncing this grace, this powerful, empowering grace. And not about you, but we all need that, right? So we're declaring it. We're speaking it over. That's what Paul was doing to the Ephesians, to the Thessalonians, to every church that he went. He spoke that more than just a blessing. It was an empowerment. It was a declaration over them. And we love each other. And we're maybe here, but we see Jesus sees us there. We want to help each other and give us what we a clear understanding of what it means to be there, right? We love one another, right? We're family, right? So I want you to group together and speak that. We put it up there so you know what the words are. And do it with that conviction and do it with that understanding about what it is that we're saying. And declare it. Declare it. Don't just, oh God, give them peace, please. No, declare. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Declare it over us. I believe that's what God is doing this morning. He's changing our mindset. He's changing our understanding of what that is. Now you just need to do it.